This has been a pretty darn cool month for me, guys and gals. So I've got my first ever official coach, and I've been urged for years and years and years by many mentors, by many friends, by other entrepreneurs, like, man, you need a coach. And while I've had some informal coaches, you know, I bought some courses and things like that, I've never really had a formal coaching relationship with anyone. I've had lots of really great mentors, but I finally buckled down and got myself a leadership coach. And that's one thing that I highly suggest you guys figure out what you need a coach for in your life. Okay. We're not going to be talking about that on today's podcast. We're going to be talking about how to become a great marketer, and how do you write insanely persuasive copy? How do you write insanely persuasive messaging on your marketing, whether it's your website, your direct mail pieces, your radio ads, your TV ads, to really bridge that gap between your prospects and your service? The ones who do the best at that are going to be the ones who cut through the clutter in your market and win. And I've got an amazing guest on today, my good friend Ben Settle, who's literally one of the most effective copywriters in the entire world, especially when it comes to email. And I've been a good close friend of Ben for several years. He actually lived here in Roseburg, Oregon. I got him to move here several years back, lived here for a couple of years. Now he lives in Bandon, Oregon. And we hopped on the line for this podcast to kind of open up his head on what he does to write persuasive copy, to write persuasive messaging in his marketing. Okay. But before we dive into that, I want to kind of circle back around to the coach thing. And like I said, I got myself a leadership coach, and you guys don't have to get a leadership coach, but you guys can get a leadership, you guys can get a coach in whatever aspect of your life is a part that you need the most growth in right now. Okay. If you really need growth, with your marriage relationship, get a marriage coach. You don't have to call it a counselor. Okay. Or a mentor there. If you really need a lot of help on the marketing side, go find an amazing marketer and get a marketing coach. Okay. You can be paid, free, whatever. Just find a great person to help coach you through how to become a great marketer. If you're looking at closing your first deal or your first 100 deals, go find a great real estate investing coach that's specific on the path that you want to go on. And that's one thing that I'm going to really ramp up myself in my life, is always be looking for a coach for that next thing that I need to improve in my life. And right now, frankly, as our team is growing here at Carrot, and as we kind of hit new levels in the business that I have honestly never been in companies, I want to make sure I'm becoming the best leader that I can possibly be, so we can lead our team to deliver amazing things for you guys, for our clients, for our prospects, for our listeners. And so we can really just make our bigger impact out there. Okay, so that's why I got myself a leadership coach. So public service announcement for this episode of the CarrotCast: get a coach on whatever it is that you guys need the most help on in your life. I can tell you what, it's going to be one of the best investments you can ever make. Now, kind of heading back to this topic today. So I sent out an email to several of the most active investors in Investor Care, and I got an email back from one of our clients, is one of the Justin Tiano brothers out of California. We had them on one of the first episodes of the CarrotCast, and they said they've been listening to the CarrotCast religiously, and they love the topics. Like, man, this is one of my favorite podcasts. And I said, well, what do you want to listen? What else do you want to learn? And his first response is like, man, I want to become a better marketer, and I want to learn how to write copy better. I want to learn copywriting. And we're going to explain what copywriting is in this podcast with my guest, Ben Settle. And we're also going to dive into how do you go out there and become a better copywriter? How do you understand your prospects so well that you understand them better than they understand themselves? And how do you gain that advantage in your market? So your competition, if you follow these steps that we're lining out in this podcast, if you don't do this, or if you do this and your competition does not, you are going to gain an advantage. Okay. And one thing I've found in business in general is the best marketers tend to win out. It's not always the person with the best product. It's not the person with the most experience. It's a person with the best marketing. How do you become the best marketer in your market? How do you become even just a better marketer than you are, so you give yourself a better chance? And I'm going to wrap it up with this before we bring Ben on. One of the most important skills that I've found in my own businesses, and I'm not just talking Carrot, is becoming a great marketer. Okay. As soon as I gained that freedom from having to be at the will of someone else, you know, going and learning, okay, what is this person doing? And I'm just going to copy what they're doing. As soon as I actually understood marketing and understood human psychology and understood exactly who my prospect is and how to define my prospect and how to go out there and write a message that so resonates with my best prospect that there's no other option for them but to work with me. As soon as I learned how to do that, that's when my businesses started to really take off. That's when we really started to gain advantages. And also, guys and girls, that's when I really started to get freedom in my business, because no longer was I tied to my business growing or not growing based on someone else's skill set. Become a great marketer yourself and you're going to be owning and controlling your destiny. Okay. And this episode of the Carrot Cast is not really specific to real estate. You can use this podcast for any type of business. The things we're going to be talking about today, because Ben is not a real estate guy, but he's one of the best copywriters in the world that I know. Okay. So without further ado, we're going to welcome Ben Settle into this episode of the Carrot Cast. And hold on, guys and gals, take notes. And also he's got some great resources for you at the end of this podcast that you can then continue and get some great, great information. He's written several books. You can get this one particular book that he's written. It's only $2.99 in Amazon for the Kindle version. And I highly suggest every single person get that. I don't make any money from this, but I highly suggest you guys get that book and another book he mentions at the end if you want to become a better marketer yourself. So let's welcome on Ben Settle into this podcast. I'm really crazy excited about this call because Ben and I have known each other for several years, and we'll dive into kind of our backstory here in a bit, how we met through a mutual friend. And I was actually able to, for a short period of time, wrangle Ben into moving to Roseburg, Oregon. So he was living here alongside us here. What was it, Ben, 3 years or so? Two years. Yeah. So two years. So he was living here in Roseburg, and now he's living on the Oregon coast, about an hour away from where we're at a beautiful place called Bandon. And we'll get into the story here in a bit, but why you guys came here on this call, of course, is to learn about how to write persuasive copy. And I might mention it in the introduction, so if this is redundant, bear with me here. But basically, one of the reasons that our stuff works so well at Carrot, and one of the reasons that we've grown this company, is because we've really been able to tap into the client. You know, how do you tap into that client or that prospect and really serve them up something that's going to perform well? And at the root of that is writing copy. It's how do you write something, or how do you put together words, whether it's in a video or in a written format, that really resonates with that prospect so much they can't help but work with you. And Ben is one of the best people in the world at this, and I just happen to be good friends with him. So I'm like, dude, Ben, you're coming on here. We're going to talk about writing copy. We're going to talk about how you become a better marketer with written word. And you could use the same thing with spoken word, of course, same thing. And we're just going to dive into all that kind of stuff. So hopefully you guys are ready for a ride here, because it's going to be a blast. And Ben, welcome on the podcast, man.
Thank you, Trevor. It's an honor to be here and to finally be part of your Carrot Cast, which I've been hearing about, you know, ever since you started it. So this is good.
And dude, you were one of the ones probably over a year ago. You said, man, you need to start a podcast. It's like 2 years ago. You said you need to start a podcast. I'm like, oh, man, the podcast craze is behind us. I don't have anything to talk about. And then finally, I got off my ass and started this podcast. And it's been a blast. Like, it's literally been one of the most fun things that I do in my role, is hopping on here and just talking with people like you. It's about life, business, marketing, stuff like that. So thanks for being one of the inspirations and getting me off my ass. And sorry it took 2 years to do so.
Yeah, but you know, the irony is that at the moment I no longer have a podcast. I will next year. I'm going to do a new one, but it lasted 2.5 years and then I killed it off for reasons that are way beyond the scope of this call. But yep. But I'll be back in it with you here shortly.
And we'll tell everyone here in a bit and at the end of the call too, where you guys can connect with Ben to learn about more about what he does, because he's a master of his craft. And I get his newsletter every single month. It's a print newsletter in my mailbox called Email Players. But it's not all about email, really. It's really about human psychology. It's how do you use words? How do you use copywriting to guide the prospect down the path to work with you if they're the ideal client? So I kind of want to start, let's kind of peel back before we dive into the copywriting elements. And I guess, first of all, let me preface it with this. The reason we're doing this call is because I reached out to several of our really active Investor Carrot members who are just loving the podcast. I'm like, hey, what do you guys want to learn about? And one of the Justin Tiano brothers out of California said, man, I really want to learn about copywriting. How do I write the words on my website or in my marketing or in my videos that's persuasive, that guides the right client toward the end goal? I'm like, dude, I've got the guy for you. I'm going to get Ben on. So that's why we've got Ben on this call. But let's peel it back a little bit. Dude, you haven't been a copywriter all the time. And I guess tell people what a copywriter is, because there's probably a lot of people here who are going, what the heck is a copywriter?
Yeah, when I first got in, I thought a copywriter was the guy or the girl who writes the little copyright signal thing at the bottom of the thing. I had no idea. Yeah. So, but it is salesmanship in print, by that or on the screen or in a video or in an email or in a blog post or however you want to sell, where you instead of me selling you one-on-one, I write it down and then you read it. You know, it's mailed to you, obviously. I wouldn't like hand it to you. Yeah. Read. I guess if I was really shy, I might do something like that. But you send a whole, you put it on a website and you can just throw traffic at it and you can have 1,000 people reading your sales pitch at once instead of doing one at a time. So just salesmanship in print. That's what the old school copywriters called it. And I think David Ogilvy, the great ad man, said it's salesmanship multiplied, you know. So it's real simple. Just writing a letter and selling.
Yeah. So it's basically if, like you said, if someone was sitting there across the table from a prospect, whatever that prospect is, and they were really good at selling them, it's taking that and putting it onto another format. So
it is. It's very similar. I mean, there's differences because if somebody's sitting right across from me, it's even better because you can read them, you can elicit all their problems and all that. But, you know, in copywriting, you have to do a lot of research so you can kind of try to predict that kind of stuff. So that's the only difference, really.
Dude, so how'd you get into it? How'd you get into copywriting? What was your life like before you kind of came into this world?
Well, I was about ready to graduate college. I had like 2 days left of college, and I knew I didn't want to have a job my whole life. I knew I'd have to get one when I got out of college, but I hate authority. I don't like people telling me what to do. And this infomercial came on by this guy named Kevin Trudeau, who's now in prison for like 10 years or something. Yeah. But at the time, he had this infomercial called Financial Freedom, which was basically trying to get you to join his MLM. He was just a distributor in MLM. It was actually kind of a smart way to build his downline, but you know, he turned out to be kind of shady and all that. But so I got into that. I absolutely sucked at it. I was like the worst network marketer who's ever lived, got in a lot of debt and a lot of problems, and ended up living in this like little two-room office because I couldn't afford like a place to live. And I did this for like 2 years. And then one night I'm just laying there because it was just, dude, it was embarrassing. I mean, like my office was conjoined to the landlord's office. I wasn't supposed to be living there. He'd come flying in every day at like 6 a.m. to use the bathroom, which is in my office, which was just a sink and a toilet. There was no shower. So I get up at like 4 a.m. every day, put my blankets away and all that, and go to the gym down the street and play basketball, take a shower there, come back at like 7 as if I'm just coming in for the day, right? And yeah, so I did this for like 5 or 6 months. And then eventually one day I'm just laying, it's like 4 a.m. I still remember, there's like 3 a.m. actually. I'm like, God, you obviously don't want me doing this. I'm sitting there passing recruiting tapes out, right? This is back when there's cassette tapes to local businesses. Okay. And they're just like yelling at me and get out of here. And you know, like this, though, this is stupid. And, you know, and they're right. And it was just depressing. So I'm like, God, you obviously don't, you did not want me doing this. It's obvious. Okay. I suck at this. I'm the worst. So I just kind of got up. I went into my other side of the office where I had this bookshelf where I had some pretty good books. The one good thing the MLM company did, and let's face it, MLM is like a gateway drug to entrepreneurship. So at least it gets you in the game. Yeah. And I got it. And there was this book they had sent me like a couple years before called The 7 Lost Secrets of Success by this guy named Joe Vitale, who was another copywriter. And it's about this old school advertising guy named Bruce Barton. Hmm. Now, nobody knows who Bruce Barton is today, right? Unless they've heard me tell this story, they probably have no idea. But he's in the early to mid 1900s. He was a household name. Like, that was the joke at the time. You can't go anywhere, talk to anyone without hearing about this Barton guy. Hmm. He was an open enemy of FDR. He was a giant in the business community. He's the second B in the BBDO ad agency, which is still around today. Everyone knew who he was. Well, in 1919, this is the story in the book. In 1919, this out of work salesman came to him. Now, this is like right after World War I, right? Economy's in shambles. This out of work sales manager comes to him saying, I need help, Bruce. How can I find a job? Well, Bruce asked him some questions, and it turns out that this guy had a talent, and he was known for writing sales letters. So he takes this guy to the window and he says, look, you're supposed to be good at writing sales letters. Why don't you send a letter to one of these companies on hiring you? And I thought, holy crap. Like, time stopped, dude, because I hated talking to people. You know what I was doing? I was going up and doing the 3-foot rule, going to everyone in 3 feet saying, do you keep your options open for ways to make money? You know, I mean, it was terrible. I said, wait, I can just write a letter. I don't have to talk to all these. I'd like the Grinch, man. I just want to live on top of my hill, yelling at all the people, the who's down there, and not have to deal with anybody, right? I'm like total introvert.
Dude, and that's how it literally was in Roseburg. You had your little hill.
It was. In fact, I got this screen capture of the Grinch with his dog looking down on the ooze. And I say, this was me when I was in Roseburg. But that's how I got started. I looked up copywriting and sales letters, and it was like a rabbit hole. I ran into names that, at least in my world, are household names like Dan Kennedy and Gary Halbert. And it's been a rabbit hole, and I've been doing it ever since. That was probably about 14 years ago. So what
was the first thing you ever remember yourself writing as far as on the copywriting side?
Well, you know what I did is I was still in the MLM company. And I said, why don't I write? I got these leads from a pretty good place. And instead of calling them, I said, what if I, because I get their mailing address. So why don't I write a sales letter, which I didn't know really much. I just had read one book on the subject, but it was a good book. And I used it and I got leads that way. I was like, holy crap, people are calling me. I didn't want to be an MLM anymore after that. So I got out like a couple months later. But that first letter was like, this works. Like it works on these hostile MLM leads. This will work on anybody. And it does.
So what do you think? What do you think? So for people listening to this, you know, a lot of people, they could be real estate investors. They might be other types of entrepreneurs, or maybe they're not even an entrepreneur yet, but they really want to be. So what do you think it is that with good copywriting cracks through and actually works versus, like you said, you're kind of walking around that 3-foot rule, you know, mentioning that little line that MLM told you to say.
Yeah.
What is it about copywriting? Is it the way that you open it up and you're tapping into that prospect with the headline? Is it like, is there a certain flow or a certain format you use when you're writing that is kind of like the secret formula? We can get into that later if you want to, but what is it about it as a whole that makes it work?
Well, I mean, it lets you target people better. So if I sent a letter to everyone in the phone book, I wouldn't have gotten any response. But I was able to target leads who had actually raised their hand and said, I'm interested in making money from home, whatever the ad was. Now imagine somebody calling you versus sending you a letter that's very – it's not intrusive. You're not trying to hard – if you do it right, you're not trying to hard sell them. You're not trying to bull crap them. If you know your market well – if you know who you're talking to, you know your customer, you know exactly what to say to get them to at least hear you out and read what you have to say. And then the only people you hear back from are the people interested. So it saves all this time too. I mean, it's the ultimate time saver if you use copy to generate leads. You're only hearing from people who are 80% sold in most cases. Isn't that better than just talking to everybody? And, you know, so I don't know if this would exactly apply to real estate investing, but if you had a list of people that you wanted to buy properties from and you sent them all a letter instead of calling them one by one, you'll only hear back from people. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an example. One company it was my friend Michael Senoff, hardtofindseminars.com. He was one of my first business partners. We teamed up. He had a list of like 10,000 people and I had the copywriting. He says, look, you write an ad selling my product to my list and we'll split it 50-50. Well, he got the rights to this program about how to buy businesses without using any of your own money, which was mostly bought by real estate people. So, you know, it's very similar. And the whole thing was find investors to pay for it for you. Well, there in that course, I remember him even saying, his name was Art Hamill. He was like, you could just send a letter to people offering, hey, can I buy your business for sale? And you'd only hear back from people because they may never thought about their business for sale until you brought it up. Now, not to say there's anything wrong with calling, but I like to deal with people who are already hot or at least warmed up to the point where talking to them is worth my time. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of this comes in.
Man, I want to kind of drill down into what you broached the subject before. You said if you really understand your prospect, if you really understand your customer, you can speak to them better. In my experience, that's the part that people skip. Like they're sitting down there, they're looking at their website as an example with care. They're wanting to write something on their website, or wanting to write a direct mail piece or film a video or whatever. And they're like racking their brain going, I don't even know what to put down on here.
Yeah. But
I know as soon as I start to really understand our client and do that worksheet that you sent me a year ago, it's insane. But by the time you get done with it, you're like, oh my gosh, I know more about my client than they probably know about themselves. Then you know exactly what to write. So if someone were going about it and they're like, they didn't even know about the client, what would you suggest that they do to understand the client better?
Well, this is the thing. You know, it goes back to that whole Abraham Lincoln thing. If I have 6 hours to chop a tree, I'm spending 5 hours sharpening the axe. Mm-hmm. This, the knowing your market is everything. It is 90% of it's. You know, people say copywriting, right? It's not writing. It's knowing your market. If you know your market well enough, the people you're selling to, you could suck at writing. You could write something on a napkin because you'll know what they want to hear, what they need to hear to sell them. So I do what some people call it an avatar. I just say it's a market analysis. It's the exact same thing I handed you. It's the exact same I think I used to hand to clients when I did client work. Whenever I have a new market, this is what when I went into the weight loss market, I had that filled out. Whatever market I go into, I always have this filled up because I'm going to give a little analogy here, a little burgle analogy, okay? I call Rosenberg the burgle for apt reasons, but you know, nothing against it. But so, as you know, my kung fu guy is out there. The guy who teaches me Wing Chun Kung Fu. Okay, the very like first week, okay, of that thing, and this is in the burgle. Okay, this is all happened in the burgle. He said, "Ben, you know, 80% of your training is going to be outside of here when I'm not here to help you." Now, the first thing they teach you is what's called the form. And this is where a series of movements you go through. It has no combat applicability, really, but it's just you get in a very specific stance. You're moving your arms in a certain way and all this. It's the foundation for the entire Wing Chun system. But you don't really feel it until you've really gone through it. Well, he goes, whenever you have a question about something, you're practicing at home, the answer is always in the form. Just go back to the form and your answer is there. And he's right. And that's what that customer analysis is. It is you, if you do it right, it's not a matter of what do I write about. It's a matter of like or video about or whatever you're doing. It's like, huh, there's so many things. There's so many problems, so many insecurities they have. Insecurities are a huge one. I love wrenching on insecurities. Insecurities, problems, desires, things that scare them, things that happen that affect them in the news, things that affect them in their local community. Whatever, like anything that touches their life and affects the way they think goes in there. So we're in, I mean, you went through it. You answer so much stuff. You know more about your market than their own mothers do. And how can you not know what to talk? It's like if I was talking to you, it's not like I have to think, what am I going to talk to Trevor about today?
Yep.
We just start talking because I know you and you know me. Like we just start talking. And that's how it is when you know your market.
Dude, so I brought up something on my screen right now. I was listening to a podcast on the way into town. And for those of you guys listening to this CarrotCast, you know that we moved a few months ago and I went from like a 6-minute commute to like a 15-minute commute now, but I listen to podcasts every morning and I flipped on the Tony Robbins channel and it was a podcast I'd heard before, but I really like it. And he talks about the 6 basic needs that make us tick and the 6 basic needs that make us tick. And the reason I want to bring this up is because to kind of piggyback off of something you said, the first need is certainty and comfort. You know, it's our need to feel in control and to know what's coming next so we can feel secure. They also go on to say a bunch of other stuff. Need number 2, uncertainty and variety. You know, we all say that we want uncertainty and variety. We do need it, but we only really want it in the ways that we want it, right? Number 3 is significance. We want to feel that we're important, special, unique, or needed. How do we get significance? Number 4 is love and connection. Says love is the oxygen of life. It's what we all want and need most. And goes on to say a bunch more. Number 5 is growth. When you're not growing, you're dying, in all parts of life. Number 6 is contribution. So kind of looking at the thing that you mentioned there, the insecurities work so well. And I can attest to that, everyone listening to this call, that if you can really dig in, like Ben said, in a very intentional way to learn about someone's insecurities, their problems or frustrations, that really hits on several of these needs, you know, the need to be certain and for comfort. You know, that's a big one there. And there's probably some other needs that they hit as well too. But when you're digging in, how do you discover someone's insecurities? How do you discover their frustrations?
Well, okay. So depending on who you're selling to, the best way is to talk to people in your market. I mean, I'll tell you that that's the second best way, because that people will tell you stuff that they don't, you know, they're trying to tell you what you want to hear. I mean, the ideal way is to sit someone down. Like if you're, I don't know, give me an example of a market that someone might be selling to.
So yeah, let's just kind of go with the one that probably most people on this call are wanting to tap into. It's a motivated house seller. It's someone who really have to sell their house. They want to sell it quickly. They're not going to list with a real estate agent because they don't want to pay the fees and stuff like that, but they don't know where to go. It could be divorce. It could be they inherited a house. It could be they're moving. It could be whatever.
Okay, so there's 2 things. The first thing you can do is talk to people like that and not try to sell them, but just literally talk to them and get them to tell you stories about what happened, what's going on with that. Can't just say, how does this feel? Tell me a story. Like, what's going on with your life with this? Like, how is this affecting you? And then just shut up and let them turn the little hidden recorder on and tape it. Okay. Laws, whatever the laws are, you have to follow. I should say that. But another thing, and then have it transcribed and you will know, you will have so much copy handed to you. It's not even funny, but here's an even better way. Now, this is what I used to do, and especially in markets where I didn't, for example, weight loss, right? I'm not an overweight woman. So how am I going to get in their heads other than talking to them, which I did. Mm-hmm. You can. And in fact, this is something I taught at our mastermind, back in 2015, right? In Austin. So, and I showed you guys this exactly what I'm going to talk about. You go to Google, you type in whoever your market is, and forums, the word forums. Mm-hmm. And what will come up is a bunch of forums where your market is hanging out and complaining about life. And you just kind of read it and you scroll through, you see the most viewed topics and say, oh, that's interesting. There's a lot of views on that one. Read it and watch how many people are telling you stories about the problem that you solve. All of that is copy handed to you on a silver platter. You are getting in their minds. Not only are you getting in their heads, you are seeing the language they use to describe the problem. See, as salespeople, we don't tend to use the language our prospects do. We have to be in their world. There's this guy, and I recommend this book to everybody. I'm reading it now, and I like to read good books 10 times before I stop. So this will be on my 10th book. His name is Jim Camp. The title of the book is just called No. And he was the world's most feared negotiator. And it's all about like trying to get people to say no, because from there you can start to tell people yes. Okay. But what he talks about is you're always safe in a negotiation, which is all we're doing is negotiating. Yep. When you're in the other person's world, when you're talking about their problems. Trevor, you've met my dad, right? You know my dad. So When he first moved to Bandon last year, they had a mole problem. This town had a lot of moles. I don't know what was going on, man. There's just a lot of moles. His yard had like 30 molehills in it. You could not have talked to him enough about moles. Okay. Like talking in his world about his problem. He would have told you stories like there's no tomorrow about moles. But if you came in there just pitching mole removal, he might listen, but get him talking about it, build that vision up. And this is another Jim Campism. You want to build a vision for people, right? And you can do that when they tell you their own horror stories. So just think in terms of horror stories. You want to tell horror stories, absolute horror stories for that market. You build a vision. At that point, they are ready to hear what you have to say every single time.
Dude, so what you said there is this is key, guys and gals. This is huge. And I think a lot of you guys probably missed this. Is Ben said, don't go sell mole removal. Go back, basically, in other words, go prod those problems, sell a vision of what it's going to feel like afterwards. So an example of this, let's say for a real estate investor talking to a motivated house seller. Let's say they're going through divorce, and while you were talking, I went online, just like you said, and I searched divorce forums, and I found there's a bunch of divorce forums. This is divorcesource.com, and I just typed in their little search box. I typed the word house. I'm like, oh, there's probably some house stuff. Down there, not too far, there's a whole thread where this person's talking about the transfer of a house. When you get divorced, are you taking the house as part of the divorce? Are you selling it? What are the tax implications? And then this person goes on to say a bunch of stuff in here. Okay. So with that methodology, I'm not just going to go say, hey, I will buy your house because you're going through divorce. You would lead with something else, right? Like what are a couple examples that you can lead with?
Okay, this is not a real estate example, but it is so in line with what you just talked about. And this is a little bit different, but I think it'll get the point across. Because what you did was very brilliant, actually. You didn't even look up the real estate market. You looked up a problem they could have and then tied it, which is perfect, especially for emails, by the way, if we ever want to get into emails here. But so one of the highest selling emails I've written was for some people in the MLM market. Now, it wasn't selling MLM. It was selling a product to MLM distributors, showing them how to become experts, perceived as experts, so that it's easier to sponsor people, right? It's a good product and all that. Now, there were a lot of affiliates for this thing, and I mean, none of them would have had the balls to write what I wrote or even to write what you were just talking about. Yeah. So what I did is I didn't talk about, oh, here's how to be an expert, right? I wrote like 15 emails for this, but this one got the most sales and clicks. Not the most opens, but this is why I don't care about opens, but got the most sales. And the subject line was an open letter to husbands who make less money than their wives and it bothers them.
Oh, wow.
And I told a story based on a real life person. I had to change some names around about a guy whose wife made more money than him. And so she was working in corporate America and he stayed home with the kids. He was a stay at home dad and he was happy to do it. And at first everything was fine. And then some things start happening. She started getting kind of bitchy with him and, you know, going on more girls' nights out. She was always talking about her boss, who was like a multimillionaire guy, and she's always spending more time at the office with him, come home and talk about him. Husband's getting a little pit in his stomach, right? He doesn't want to admit it, but, you know, this is bothering him.
Yeah.
And then eventually she ended up, you know, she ended up divorcing him and going and for her boss. And so, you know, I said, look, what could he have done differently? Well, he could have started a business on his own while he was at home and built that up And then he could have made himself as valuable and as attractive as her boss is. And we'll never know, but he could have done that. And then this program can show you how to do that. If you're an MLM, how to actually become a celebrity in your business, in your company, in your business, so that people look up to you like that. So like you're the one, the high value person, no matter what your situation is. Dude, I'm telling you, man, that email just like you. I mean, I was even surprised how well it sold, but it was just happening. Now, it didn't even mention the product for the first 700 words of the 800 email. It built that vision first. And what you were talking about could be the same thing. You could actually write a letter about someone going through a divorce. Not like that necessarily, but and all the pains and all the problems and all the tax crap and have to deal with her crap and or his crap, depending who you're writing to. And, you know, but here's how to make it easier. You know, I can help you make, but first you build that vision up of the hell. Show them hell and then show them how to climb out of the pit into heaven. That's kind of the way I look at it.
Man, so I've been digging into this forum a little bit more while you've been chatting. And here's this one right here. It says wife's ex trying to force the sale of the home. And then they go on through talking about, hey, you know, so my wife and I live in the house her and her ex own. In their divorce agreement, it states that in lieu of child support, he will pay the mortgage, blah, blah, blah. So then it goes on to say some other things. So, the brilliant thing there, guys and gals, I want you guys to be writing this stuff down because you guys may be looking at it going, man, why do I have to learn how to write copy? Kara already has content on those web pages. Well, we have gone through and the copy we have written on our web pages are done in this format where we really understand the client, we get into their head. But if you guys want to start actually you know, having that freedom yourself and you guys want to start actually standing on your own two feet and learn how to be a great marketer, you've got to understand that prospect. And one thing that you were mentioning before, Ben, we didn't really use these exact words. You would know who said this. I can't remember who said it, but is it Claude Hopkins or something like that that said, join the conversation in the person's mind? Who?
Oh, that was Robert Collier. Same era, though. Exact same era.
Yes. So Robert Collier said this famous phrase, and I use it all the time. And just internally, I'm always thinking this, join the conversation in the prospect's mind. So in that example you used, the conversation in their mind wasn't, I need to go start a business. The conversation was, I have these insecurities that I would make less money than my wife. And then your email kind of spurred on, oh my gosh, I don't want this story in their head that I don't want this to happen. The solution now is your product of that problem. So that's the key there, guys and gals, is figure out what is going through their mind. Like Ben said earlier, figure out what their frustrations are, what those insecurities are, and then find a story that you can tell that relates to them. Then your product is the ultimate solution for that. So what are some of the best techniques you use, if any, to kind of join that conversation? Do you always start with, hey, here's this insecurity or frustration, or do you oftentimes start with, hey, here's the outcome that you want?
It really just depends. For example, I'm trying to think of a real estate example. So there's this friend of mine named Ryan Stuman, who a lot of the listeners probably know who he is. Yeah. I mean, he's getting kind of big in the real estate world. He's got this program called Break Free Academy Digital, which is basically a digital version of this thing he does. It's for real estate agents and brokers and insurance agents, you know, how to sell houses and all that. Mm-hmm. And I remember this is the only client job I've taken in like the last 5 years. And I wasn't really supposed to do it. I was supposed to consult somebody else on it. That person kind of couldn't do it. So I'll just write it. Cause he's a friend of mine. I want to see him do well. Mm-hmm. So I went through all this with him. Like I figured out the market and all that. And I started with, and in fact, I want to bring it up. Well, shoot, if I do that, it'd take too long. But I started with like, it was about them. It was about what they want. Like he told me what they would have, what a real estate agent, when he's in bed with his wife at night, scared up to death, you know, insomniac, you know, he's scared about tomorrow. It was about getting leads, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, well, here's how to generate leads so hot that they call you. They chase you down. That was the essence of the headline. So I started with that thing they wanted that. And this is, by the way, this is a good way to write, to figure out how to write copies. What is it that keeps them up at night with like, you know, acid boiling in their esophagus? They're so scared, you know, and what they wake up worried about in the morning with that you can connect your product to. And that was an idea, what he did. And I'm just thinking, you're talking about this stuff. And, you know, if you're a real estate investor, you could kind of niche things down and just go after divorced people because you know they need your help. Yep. How many of them you could just make an offer, right? like, I'll help you get out of this, right? I mean, this is kind of like a brain fart, but I mean, that's an idea, like niche it down, like just focus on them, and it makes things a lot easier. But so that's how I do it. I find out there's this guy, Doug Deanna. He's like one of the world's top copywriters. I had a chance to interview him about 8 years ago, and he said it like this, and this, I've never forgot this. He goes, copywriting is about building a bridge from your prospect to your product, not about building a bridge from your product to the prospect. What do most people do? They come out pitching and claims and all. No, you start with them. So I didn't start with the product. I started with, you know, do you want leads that are so hot they come after you? They're chasing you down. You don't have to go out there with yard signs and all that crap and use Trulia and all that stuff. These guys will come to you, and it's a lot cheaper. I mean, to that market, it's like, yeah, sign me up. You know, and they're ready. And then I tell the story about how Ryan went through some of the crap he went through, and or one of his students did, and then they kind of figured out how to do it the right way. And look at all this cool stuff that's happened, and now people come chasing him down, and he doesn't even worry about this, and he has a team now that can do most of the hard work, and he's went from working 80 hours a week to working like 8 hours a week, and building that vision up. And then how, here's how you can learn it too. I got it in a nice little package. And now, this isn't the same for investors, but this is an example of how you build the vision before you bring in your offer. And
no, that's great, man. I think one other way to kind of put it in people's mind as well is, you didn't start with the here's what we have and here's how it's going to help you. You started with here's the problem, here's what you're going to basically experience after. And oh, by the way, here's the thing that's going to get it for you.
Absolutely.
Which I love that, because when I know for me, when I'm looking at buying something, I once can kind of going back to that phrase from before, put yourself in the person's mind and that conversation going on in their mind. We all have a conversation going on in our mind. We could be standing at Costco looking in the toilet paper aisle, and there's all these toilet papers there. And you remembered last time, it's like, damn, that last toilet paper I used was so narrow. Like, I had to fold it all these different times. Like, so that's the conversation. So on the paper, you know, on the darn packaging, if you know that the client is going through, or the person's going through that, you make sure you say, you know, covers your whole hand. I'm just making stuff up here now, but you know, no more accidents, covers your whole hand, this and that. It's like, bam. So you have wider toilet paper. You're selling it not by saying our toilet paper is wider. You're saying it by basically telling the story of what they're going to be experiencing afterwards. And then inherently your product is a solution. And a couple of examples kind of relating this to real estate investors watching this. So once again, let's go back to motivated house sellers. You know, let's do it the other way. Let's do they're going after people who are looking at buying investment properties. So it's someone who has money. They don't know where to put the money. Maybe the stock market's all wacky. And they know that they've heard good things about real estate and owning rental properties. And they land on this website. So in your mind, just knowing the basic stuff I gave you, of course, you haven't had any time to really research the market.
Oh, that's okay.
On the hot spot here.
That's all right. I like doing that.
Yes, but you're a guy who has some money, and you and I have talked about investment stuff and possibly real estate stuff. So you might even kind of be that guy a little bit.
Yeah.
So you understand the person. So it, just off the top of your head, complete pressure here for it. What are some things that you might lead with on that webpage if you're targeting that person and you have the product of, I have properties that I can sell you?
Okay, so here's exactly what I would do. First of all, I wouldn't sell the property on the page. I would sell them giving me their email address by giving them promising them some kind of report or an interview or an audio or something, giving them really good tips on exactly what they want to know, how to buy, or if they don't know anything. If you're a complete noob at buying real estate, rental property, or whatever they're looking for, you know, here's how to avoid some of the problems. I don't know. This is where you get into the market. That's how you find out what to offer them. Once I have their email address, I'm sending them an email every day with tips and ideas to help them further do this, whether they buy anything or not. They're just good tips told in like story entertainment, maybe telling horror stories about people who've done it wrong. I do a lot of those, actually. I would do a lot of those about people who wasted money and did this wrong and that wrong, listening to all the common stuff with how it's going to get you killed out there. And then in each email, I would plug myself. I'd say, look, I have some property that might work for you. Okay, I don't know, but give me a call. And we can talk about it for a few minutes. And if it's something you want to hear more about, great. If not, don't worry about it. You can still keep getting my tips. I take all the pressure off. And I would just talk to them like they're a human being. You know, like, you don't really know if you can help them until you've talked to them, right? So that's how I would do it. I would try to get their email address. I'd mail them every day with something interesting about that they want to get good at. And every email would have a call to action to call me or even, however they want to be contacted.
And that's where understanding your prospect is going to be hugely important, because if you're focusing in on, like as an example with Carrot, we focus in on what we call the high achieving investor, and we have a very specific avatar, and that avatar fits this box. So we really speak that message toward the person who is an active investor, who is doing consistent deals. They're either a full-time investor already, or the majority of their income is there, or it's going to be there quickly. Who wants to scale up and wants to do big things and stuff like that. So that's the person we talk to a lot. And in your example there, if they're looking at going after the person who, let's say it's the doctor and they're just not experienced in real estate, but they have money, that would be perfect for that, because you're educating them along the way. You're trying to get them to make that step into real estate and then get comfortable with you. On the flip side, if they're like focusing on the hardcore person who already knows what they're doing, they're just looking for the great deals. They want to work with a company that makes it easy for them. They could shift that message around a little bit and like, hey, access our hot properties or whatever, and get them the properties immediately, and then show them the important things that they feel are important. Here's how you're going to get your 10% cap rate or whatever. Here's how you're not going to have to spend any time managing it once you buy it, things like that. So that's where it really comes down, guys. You guys understand the prospect you're talking to, because you're not talking to all sellers. You're not talking to all buyers. You want to come up with the people you want to work with.
Yeah, I just throw this out for anyone listening to this. Knowing what little I know about what you guys do, okay, which is a lot. I mean, a lot. I don't know much.
Yeah.
I would probably just focus on doctors. I'd get a list of doctors, because and I would tell them right up front, look, most of the investing community, like guys like me, okay, guys who do what I do, think that you guys are the biggest source of dumb money in the country, because here's why. Because they probably are. I mean, technically, and I'm going to help you not be that way. I'm going to help you be a smart investor. I'm going to help you do it the right way. That is one way you could just do it.
I love that. I love it. So on the niching things down, man, how often do you go after a broad market versus niching down? Like if you're, as an example, you guys were going after the golf market, mm-hmm. and that's a huge market. Did you guys start to niche that down as you were planning it out, going, man, this is way too big, let's niche it to this part of golf? Or did you tackle the whole thing at once?
Well, the thing we're selling, and we're still relaunching this. This thing's been in limbo forever.
You'll
but the thing, the initial launch went really well. That was like a year ago. Now we have to, the thing we're selling appeals to all golfers. But let's say it wasn't. Okay, I used to be in a different golf company, and I remember we had like 8 different avatars. You had like, the guy who sucks like me, mm-hmm. and the guy who's really good like you.
No.
Okay. Like then you had the guy who's got like a, who's a scratch golfer, which is probably like a very small percentage. Like there were so many avatars, and I don't ever happen with that, because I ended up leaving the company before we could exploit it. But that's how much niche down we were getting it. So it really depends on your market and who you want to deal with. In my regular business when I sell email, like how to do email stuff, I tell people I don't teach white belts. Okay. You come to my school, I don't want a white belt who I have to explain what an autoresponder is, and like, I don't want that. I want people who already have a little experience. They've already have an email list. They already have an offer. They just want to know how to make more sales with it. So that's how I could have went the other way. I could have said, anyone who's just getting on the internet, I'm your man. I'm going to show you from A to Z how to get your autoresponder set. I don't want that. There are people who do that. So it really depends on who you want to deal with. Who do you like working with? Now, I know that in Carrot, there's certain people that are easier to work with than others.
Oh, yeah.
There's definitely people that you don't target at all, because that they're just not right for you guys. So it really comes down to personal preference and that sort of thing.
So I was talking to a Carrot member, but an investor, this last week. He does a ton of deals. And we're actually working through right now getting his website set up, and he wanted us to do all the work. So we have this program where he can do it. We do the copywriting on it. Our copywriter dives in and does it. And one of the questions I was asking the guy, and I highly suggest everyone listen to this call to do the same thing for yourself, is I said, so where do most of your best deals come from? And he said, man, he goes, they come from all over the place. Well, I said, well, where are your best ones come from? The ones that, like, if you can get a bunch of those. He goes, well, shoot, the vast majority of the volume of my deals and my best deals are all inherited houses. It's all ones where the person inherited it, and then I get them on a direct mail list or something like that, and I connect them. I'm like, awesome. So now we're going to tweak his homepage to where it's more heavily focused on the inherited house. I'm still going to be talking to those other, the other avatars, but it's going to be talking on the inherited house thing. And one thing we have not done yet, dude, is I need to have our copywriter or even myself go online, look for probate forums or something like that. Find the people talking about the house issues and then get a whole bunch of the stuff that they're saying. Like you said, pass that to the copywriter and like, dude, work this into the copy somewhere.
Yeah.
Cause these are their words, just like you said. So that's a biggie. Yeah, so niche down when you guys can in your messaging. It doesn't have to mean you have to niche your whole business down. Like Ben was saying, that golf company had, what, 8 avatars in the business?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if you go after the core people you want, right, you're still going to get people outside of that attracted to what you're doing. Yep. For example, even in my regular business, I don't go after white belts, but sometimes white belts buy my stuff anyway, and they just fight their way through up to the next belt. You know, and that's fine. I just don't target them. I target a very specific person. So you just, if you want to go after just the inheritance people, that's fine. You know, there's nothing against the law saying you can't have two websites, two differently branded things. One goes after one goes after the other. Yeah. Or have a big catch-all website where you give them 4 options. You know, so they can kind of opt into a list that appeals that's about them. Yeah. And then they get a different sequence of emails and a different sales letter or whatever. But, you know, it just depends on that's too much work for me personally.
Oh yeah.
But, totally. But you know, I'm just saying you could do that. You know, I'm saying
kind of what we do on our house selling sites. And I want to kind of reinvent it a little bit even more too, is dig in a little bit more and have some pages specific to those situations. You know, there's a page specific to inherited. There's a page specific to divorce to this, and just really nail the copy there. Then weave that homepage content where it links to those other pages as the person self-identifies that, okay, I inherited a house. I want to learn more about this. So that's probably the way that we'll do it there, just to keep it simple for people and all that.
Yeah.
So let me kind of jump over to the other side to direct mail now. Cause a lot of people that are real estate investors do a tons of direct mail, and, there's all kinds of things that you can do for a direct mail. And I want to kind of help people get focused on the important things, because there's the media, there's the medium, you know, there's how do they send it out? There's what is it packaged in? What paper is it on? This and that, yellow letters, postcard, all this kind of stuff. Let's assume that we want to focus in on the important things. What would you suggest people do that are like the top 2-3 important things that they should look at with their direct mail pieces as far as messaging goes?
Well, I mean, the first thing is to get undivided attention. Okay. And this is the hardest part of the whole thing. Now, I'm going to give you an example. So last weekend, I was hanging out with this. I've been dating this girl for like the last few weeks, and she's doing direct mail for her boss right now. Now, they're not selling real estate, but in a way that's related, it's like some kind of land trust thing. I don't really fully understand it, but it's something about like bringing awareness to like some erosion or something. I don't know, some environmental stuff like that. Okay. And so here's what I told her. Of course, she totally rejected this idea, but I guarantee you this would work because they're trying to put a fundraiser together. This would have got a lot of people into the room. I said, I want you to go out to the woods. It sounds weird, right? I want you to go out of the woods because we're in the fall, right? We're almost fall. You see leaves falling on the ground. I want you to scoop a bunch of leaves up because they have like a list of like 100 people, right? Mm-hmm. I want you to staple a leaf onto a piece of paper, onto each letter. And that's called the grabber. Mm-hmm. Now, can you imagine getting a letter with a leaf attached? Now, people have already donated to this organization. They're already receptive, mm-hmm. but this gets their attention. And why? And I would just write something very simple. As you can see, and this comes from the Gary Halbert School of Copywriting. As you can see, I've attached a leaf to the top of this letter. Why have I done this? Well, 2 important reasons. One reason, I have something very important to say. I wanted to make sure it got your attention. And 2, this leaf is from the very wherever land it is, that's under attack right now by these forces, whatever. And then I would have went into my spiel. So now let's take a more real estate. I'm just thinking of another real estate example. Now this was something Gary Halbert actually did. So this isn't my experience, but this is what he did. I guess he knew someone or he wrote about it. Maybe he made this up or whatever. He goes, let's say somebody was selling Hawaiian real estate, right? He would actually have little baggies of sand from the beach, attach that to the letter and do the exact same spiel. Why have I attached this back here?
That was cool.
It's attention. Like, and I know that's not, everyone doesn't have property that's sexy, but there's something cool about your area that you can tie it into. I guarantee it. You know, I had this idea, like, you know, we're not far from Bigfoot land, right? Up here in Oregon, where that video was taken about the Bigfoot looking around and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what if someone went down there and just scooped up sand from down there and put in little baggies and did that, sold Bigfoot paraphernalia? Like, with that, this sand is from the exact spot, or you know, something like that. But anything that gets attention. So find a story around whatever it is you're selling, mm-hmm. and try to think of something you can attach to the letter. And there are companies that will do this. It's not like you have to sit at your table and like fold these things. It's called Lumpy Mail. In fact, I think there's a website called lumpymail.com, or yep. if you go to Google and just type in Lumpy Mail, you get all kinds of ideas that you can attach to a letter, and it all works.
So the first thing is get attention.
Yes.
So once we've got their attention, let's say with the direct mail piece or on their website, what do you do next?
Now you want to tell them a story. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we talked about building that pain up, that vision. And, you know, now maybe it's not a painful thing. Maybe it's a desire they have, but you want to tell a story about someone just like them. And if you were in that market at one time, it's even better. You can tell a personal story, but it could be about someone else, someone just like them who has this tale of woe, who were wherever the prospect is now, whatever frustrations and fears they're going through, and talk and go very, very detailed about this. Go into I call it horror stories. I mean, really tell a horror story from their point of view. And then after that, you segue into, here's how I can help you. Give some of your credentials, why you can help them, and then go into your offer. And it can be as simple as that.
Dude, so while you were saying that, it popped in my head. And for those of you guys listening to this podcast, one thing I would highly suggest everyone do, if you guys want to be a better marketer, start paying attention to other marketing. The stuff that grabs you and gets you to pay attention to it, cut that out of that magazine, do whatever it is, and keep what's called a swipe file. And I've got a big swipe file here in my office. And this one that popped in my head while you were saying that was here in Roseburg in the newspaper, which I used to get. I don't get anymore. But in the newspaper, this one ad grabbed me every damn time it was in there. It was in there for like a year. And the guy doesn't live here anymore, so it's not in there anymore. But it was this big old ad in there, kind of like an advertorial, right? Which for those for you guys who are not sure what that is, it looks like it's a piece of content, but it's actually an ad. And it kind of almost looks like the newspaper. And it said, a local doctor has a confession. And I'm looking at it like, whoa, this guy, there's something big happening. Like he was required to do this, you know, cause he got sued or whatever it was. I'm like, I'm going to read this thing. So I hit my damn elbow on the desk. So there's the attention part, right? I'm like, wow, I got to listen to this. I got to read this. So there's the attention. And then just like you said, it started with the story. It didn't go, I have a confession to make, you know, local doctor's confession to make, and didn't go, hey, I have great services, buy my service for $29 or whatever. It told the story, and it told the story of how he made this transformation in his life. And I don't remember exactly how it started, but it really started talking about how he was in college and, he was loving being really active in this and that. And then he had an injury and, you know, kind of, I think part of it too, then he got that rehab, then he got back into normal life and him sitting a lot and this and that. It started really telling this real story so people could relate to it. And he started talking about his back problems and this and that. All these problems he was having was dragging down his health and dragging down his happiness. And like he really told this story of woe, like you mentioned. And then the transformation was he went to a local blah, 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 chiropractor that specialized in X. And that person worked on him, changed his life so much that he wanted to become one himself. And now that's what he does. And if you have these problems like I had, I can help you do this. There's no guarantee it's going to work, but here's my introductory service, $79 for the x-ray, for this, for that. I'm like, I don't even need it, but
brilliant. Yeah, that is like, brilliant.
I want to go to the dude and pay him the $79.
Yeah.
It's such great marketing. I don't even need the work then.
It's brilliant. That's, you know what? That is such a perfect example of exactly how it's done. I don't know who wrote that guy's ad, but it's brilliant. And and I'll tell you what, you said it went into like the tale of woe. So I was during Labor Day weekend, I was speaking at this event, and the day before they had this guy had his platinum members, you know, pay like $20,000 to be in the room, like 10, 15 people. And we were listening to their stories. And my one feedback on everybody, and they all told me this was the thing that changed their whole business. And I mean, there's nothing magical about it. I didn't make this up. I just made up how to word it this way. I said, every time they're done telling their story, you need more gore in that story, more gore. Just, it needs more gory details, you know? And so the more gore you can go into, the bigger that vision is of their pain. By the time they get to the $79, it's like, yes, sign me. I bet that guy is overrun right now. I mean, he probably has a waiting list right now or something like that.
I guarantee. So kind of taking the same thought once again, relaying that to real estate. So an example, let's kind of wrap this back and forth here. kind of coming up with that attention-grabbing headline, story of woe, and then here's the thing we can do. Would it make sense to grab a case study of a client that they worked with? And here's this really tough situation that person was going through. They inherited a house. They had three siblings that inherited it with them. And then the siblings all were fighting each other for a year and this and that. And, you know, they ended up just completely separating the family. And then he came in and saved the day. Would there be some kind of cool stuff we could play with there?
Yeah. In fact, I would take it even farther. Mm. And I'm sure you guys could find a story where there were actual murders happening in a family that this happened to. Yeah. And I would tell their story. Okay, where the kids actually stabbed each other. You know, they plotted each other's death. You know, find a real story about this. Yeah. I'm sure there's out there. I know. In fact, I've heard stuff like this. So find a real life story. And there's nothing saying you can't use that story in your head. You know, the story about this guy who went through all this stuff and what you were just saying, and the siblings actually killed each other. You know, mm-hmm. You know, one poisoned the other one, and one stabbed. You know, and you know, it was tragic. You know, and you tell that. You really want to show them a glimpse of hell, you know, or what could happen. And that makes them automatically want to gravitate the other way and at least get their minds thinking a little bit differently, because it's serious stuff. You know, if you look at whatever it is you're selling, including real estate, as something that really benefits the world, you know, this stuff is important. Like, you can't just put weak stuff out there. You're trying to change. Like, this is like if you're helping someone get rid of some property and they're going through a divorce and they just want to be detached from that, they want this whole part of their life ended, you are doing a real service for them. Like, that's not just, you know, it's not just money. There's more to it. You got to look at your product that way. Like, this is really benefiting humanity. You know, somehow this is really going to change this person's life. And you go in, you just do things differently naturally. If you go in with that mindset, you do things like that, you'll get extreme. Mm-hmm. You say, look, I'm not trying to like freak you out, but this happened, you know, like, yeah. And I'm not saying this will happen to you, but just imagine if it's half as this bad. So I can help you. Maybe I can help. Maybe I can't. I don't know, but check out my thing and whatever.
And when you approach it that way too, I mean, the perception of that type of marketing versus the normal type of marketing. Hey, here's who I am. Here's what my product is, or here's what it does. I mean, I see people all the time completely commoditizing themselves by, yeah. Hey, here's me. I've got my fancy real estate agent picture on there. Work with me because I look good and my hair from 1975 looks awesome. And here's a couple of cool testimonials. Like, that's what a lot of real estate agents do. That's the way that they sell, based on their picture and a bunch of other people have worked with them in the past. Marketing like this, man, completely cuts through the clutter, because it's all about the prospect now.
It's in their world. Mm-hmm. You're in their world. You can't ask them to come to your world. They don't care about our world. But if you're in their – like, again, Jim Campa, you cannot fail if you just stay in their world. And I'll tell you, man, there's something to be said about telling stories about property. Like, even on eBay, you see the most obscure things being sold just because they have some crazy story attached to it. Yeah. And I bet every piece of property out there has some kind of story. Somebody lived there. Somebody died there. Something happened, right? And so, again, that's their world, right, if you're telling an interesting story.
Dude, you could even make up stories. I remember I got the J. Peterman catalogs for like 3 or 4 years. Do you ever get those?
Yeah, I used to get those.
Yeah, so same thing, guys. And guys, if you want to be a student of marketing and really get complete freedom in your business where you can actually – you can guide and dictate the growth of your business because you're a great marketer. You're not just going and buying some course and having to always copy someone else's marketing. Become a great marketer. I stumbled on the J. Peterman catalog somehow. It might have even been like, dude, I think it was in Dan Kennedy's newsletter.
Probably, yeah.
He posted a picture of one of the J. Peterman things. I'm like, I'm going to go subscribe to their catalog. It's free. And you get it once a quarter or whatever. And they're just selling normal clothes. I mean, it's like a leather jacket and it's this one dress. But when you flip through the J. Peterman catalog, like you're saying, it's these amazing stories that almost make you, if you close your eyes and after you read that product description of that bomber jacket, like, yeah, you literally feel like you are going to be a fighter pilot if you buy this darn jacket. And they're really expensive too. It's just amazing what story can do.
Dude, a story can sell things. It's not even for sale. Like, I always use the Top Gun example, the movie Top Gun. Mm-hmm. 1986, Tom Cruise, right? That movie, there's no pitch in there to join the Navy or Air Force, but it was so popular. It was like, it made people want to join in so much droves that the military put recruiting who's at the theaters it was playing at. The demand was through the roof. And no, nowhere in the credits, nowhere does it say join the Navy. No, they want to be like Tom Cruise. They want to be the cool lifestyle. And same with that movie, Machine Gun Preacher, if you ever saw that.
Yep.
Like, it tells this story. It makes you, at the end, you're like, dude, how do I donate to this thing? They don't even put a link in there. You know, I had to, like, go look it up. You know, it's like, but stories will can carry everything. I'm not saying don't make a call to action. I'm just saying a story can do most of the work.
So kind of going over to the, this just made me, we've got maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes left here. I've got two more specific things I want to cover. One of them just popped in my head. So using story, so testimonials, a lot of people will put testimonials on their websites, on their direct mail, whatever. And most of the time it seems like it's very, hey, here's the benefit that they helped me with, which that's great. I mean, that's
yeah.
I love the person. I'll work with them again. Those are cool. Like, I'm not saying not to get those if you guys have them. Those are great. Would you think that actually building story testimonials are more effective than just, hey, here's how they helped me and here's the benefit and I love them?
Absolutely. I do it in my daily emails all the time. Sometimes I'll put just a straight testimonial, but sometimes I'll say, here's what happened to Bob. You know, he was there, here, here, and here's what happened after, you know, and here's another testimonial tip. If you can find gold card testimonials, meaning these are celebrities or people have celebrity appeal, and you don't have to, I don't mean just Hollywood celebrities. Your local sheriff is a celebrity, mm-hmm. right? Like if you helped him and he gave, ask him for a testimonial, or the local track star's parents or something, you know, the parents of the local football star. Yeah. It's, you'd be surprised, man. People love celebrities, or they just believe celebrities for whatever reason. And those gold card testimonials are huge.
That's cool. So another couple elements that we found work really well on web pages. It's kind of funny. You know, pictures of course are great, but as soon as we started putting captions under the pictures, because I read somewhere years ago,
yeah.
they're like the number two or number three most viewed thing in newspaper or whatever is the caption of the picture. I don't know if that's true, but it's
yeah, no, that it's definitely true. Everybody reads the captions.
Yeah, so captions are huge, and when you're writing copy. And you have an image there. Do you always put a caption? I guess does it make sense ever to not put a caption? Because we'll pretty much most of the time, if there's a picture there on the core pages, we will put a caption. Even if it's just the house, we'll say, hey, you know, we purchased 1, 2, 3, 4 oak from Brian recently, and see how we can buy it from you too. Do you always put a caption on your picture?
Yes,
it's kind of whenever you have a story to tell about the picture.
If you can throw a little story in there or something, some reason why that picture's there, mm-hmm. some benefit that will relate to the reader, it's all the better. Or if it's a picture of a person, you put the credibility of that person under there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that little things like that add up quite a bit. Like, for example, in our golf, you know, Marty McDonald. So when I did the copy for that, I said, Marty, let's put this picture of you up and let's just give you a title. The most connected man in golf. I just made it up, dude. I mean, he's a connected man. I don't know if he's the most connected, but it's so subjective at a certain point. And that's credibility. And so you can give yourself credibility sometimes. We give yourself a title. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you do it in real estate, but I'm sure there's a way to do it. If I knew the market.
Yeah, there's got to be. I mean, even if you're not the biggest house buyer in a city, you could say, you know, you know, most active house buyer in XYZ neighborhood or something.
Most
like
trusted.
That. There we
most
go. Most trusted. Which same thing. That's very subjective too. It's like trusted yeah. by who? Well, by my clients that I've worked with, you know.
Yeah, you put that proof in the ad, you know. But you can always, but the caption, it's just a little thing. World leader, and I gave myself a title. World leader in email copywriting education. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave that to me. Nobody else has claimed it. Yeah, I don't even know if it's true, but you know, I think it's true. But yeah. So.
No, totally. So a couple more things. I'm sure people are listening to what we're talking about. They've got a lot of really good nuggets. Hopefully they've really shifted their mindset. They need to dive in and learn about their client first. They've got to nail that. Is there a resource that you can point them toward that they can
yes.
better learn about their client?
Yes. And this is sort of like a cheat sheet, but it's also a really good book on copywriting that anybody can read in like two sittings. It's cool. Called The Ultimate Sales Letter by Dan Kennedy. In the very beginning, he gives this little 10 question thing to ask about your product and your market. If you did nothing but that stuff, and believe, I mean, obviously what I showed you is way more than that, but if you did nothing but that, you're already 90 5% ahead of everybody else. Just going through that and doing it and then reading the book, it'll walk you through it. It's the first sales letter book I ever read. It's great. I still use the information to this day.
So The Ultimate Sales Letter by Dan Kennedy. And that's
awesome. Yes.
Any other core copywriting book for someone that's just getting going? Not like really deep stuff, but someone just getting going. They read The Ultimate Sales Letter. Is there anything else?
I have a very biased resource. It's Kindle. It's only like $2.99, and it's called Crypto Marketing or Crypto Copywriting Secrets. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very abbreviated version of what I do in 5 steps. Cool. It's gotten a ton of like 5-star reviews because it's people are like, I can't believe I'm getting this for $2. You know what I mean? And it walks you through a lot more than Dan Kennedy's little cheat sheet. I go into a lot more detail on what questions to ask, how to write a headline, how to get attention, how to start a sales letter, how to tell a story, you know, how to get people excited about it and how to close it. It goes through all 5 steps that I teach, and it's only $2.09. I don't know.
Crypto copywriting secrets. We're going to put a link below.
So yeah.
We'll link right below this video. Or if you're listening to the audio version, guys and gals, just Google it. Google crypto copywriting secrets, Ben Settle, somewhere along the way.
Just go to Amazon, put it in Amazon with my name and it'll come up.
No, that's perfect. Or yeah. You guys go to carrotcast.com, find this Carrotcast with Ben and it'll be in the show notes. So either way, grab one of those. The last thing I want to kind of give to people, and it might be in crypto copywriting secrets. So you can completely say, go invest $2 or $3 there. But is there a formula that people should have on their desk or in their mind when they're writing? Because I know formulas work well for me. And I know before you mentioned attention, and I've heard a formula that's the ADA formula, attention, yeah, interest, desire, action. So you get their attention, you build interest, you really build that desire, then you get them to take action. Do you use a formula yourself, and is it in that resource or something like that?
I do, and it is, but I'm going to go into a little more detail. So I struggled with copywriting in the very beginning. It was very overwhelming for me. Like I was really overwhelmed. Like there's all these, I see these 80 point checklists, right? I don't even understand the attention, interest, desire. I mean, I get it, but it's like very subjective to me. You know what I mean? Like, okay, that's nice, but what does that mean? So this is back when my ads were so bad that once a client laughed at my ad and like, you know, talk about dejection. But I figured it, I started studying two things. I started studying all the best copywriters. Like, okay, what is the thing they're doing in these ads, like my favorite ones, and then also how to study the market really well. And I call it my copy slacker system because it let me write sales letters really quickly. And it's 5 steps. And this isn't the crypto copywriting secrets. This is the 5 steps. Okay. Headline, opening sentence, story, bullets, close. That's my entire, like that will 90% of sales letters can fit in that. And it keeps you on track.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to write a headline. Okay, now I got to write an opening sentence. I got to write a story. Bullets, which are just, you know, benefits and all that. And here's how to close it. So the crypto copywriting book, which is, again, $2.99, it goes all through all that stuff.
I love it, man. So any other copy, you know, nuggets of wisdom you want to throw out people? Because we've only been on here for an hour, and you've been studying this for how many years, man?
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So people can't expect to get everything in this call, but go get Crypto Copywriting Secrets. Go get The Ultimate Sales Letter. Any other parting words as far as copy that people should focus on?
You know, I would say this. Don't get too caught up in the writing. I know this guy named David Deutsch. He probably is the top direct mail guy right now in the world, copywriter. And I remember asking him, he goes, yeah, you know, when I first started getting into this world of all these A-list copywriters, he goes, I would ask them, tell me about what you do for writing. He goes, but you know what all the top guys do, Ben? I go, what? He goes, they're always talking about the market. Like, hey, did you know this is like a new way they're using to describe that problem? Or here's what they're saying now. Here's what bothers them now. Oh, did you know this changes? This has been changing. It's all about the market for these guys. You don't have to be a great writer. You just have to be able to study your market, and you're going to be just fine.
I love it. So guys and gals, check out, once again, Crypto Copywriting Secrets. Go to Ben's website, just Ben Settle. Is it bensettle.com now?
It's bensettle.com.
Check it out, and at least just join us on our newsletter. You know, join the free newsletter. You'll get a daily email where he's always delivering amazing copywriting advice, and just really learn how to tap into your prospect better. That's what you're going to get from Ben in a big way. And also, Ben is known for just really entertaining writing. So that's one thing that I've been challenging myself on in a big way, is just being a lot more entertaining. Sometimes I slink back into the really boring writing and stuff like that. So then I open up some of Ben's emails. I'm like, damn, okay. Now I need to challenge myself and being more entertaining. So you guys cannot go wrong. Just go get on his free newsletter, and I'm a part of his paid newsletter. So you guys would love that as well if you want to really take it to the next level. And it's going to kind of recap for you here. Make sure you guys and gals go out there and understand your prospects inside and out, so you know more about them than they do. Okay. That's the first step. If you want to be great at persuasive copywriting, if you want to be great at resonating with your prospect, if you want to be the best marketer in your area, you understand your prospect better than anyone else, and then you can tap into them. And some of the tips Ben laid out in this podcast are going to help you do that. And also some of the tips he lays out in his newsletter and in Crypto Copywriting Secrets, you're going to do that as well. And then once you do that, start to tell us, figure out some stories and use that formula that he lays out in his book. And from there, just get out and market more. You know, become a great marketer and always continue to get that swipe file of other great marketing from outside of this industry, outside of real estate investing. Find what's working great in other spots and relay it over here. But guys and gals, thank you guys for hopping on this CarrotCast episode. Check out Ben at bensettle.com and everything that he's got over there. And Ben, man, I appreciate the heck out of you hopping on this podcast with me.
Oh, dude, I'd be looking forward to this, man. I was hoping that I could be on your CarrotCast once. This is great.
Well, dude, I want to have you back again another time to talk about your business model, because I know a lot of people, are real estate investors, but a lot of people also are doing other types of businesses. So I think that'd be a really cool departure from just the real estate stuff. It's just literally just talking about what you do and not just as a copywriter, because you don't work for clients anymore.
Right, right.
You use your craft to build your own business where you're literally, I remember when you were living here in Roseburg the first 7 months. So get this, guys and gals, before we wrap up this podcast. So Ben had an office here in the loft where Carrot's based out of. And I don't think you ever worked there. You had an office here for like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Your tech guy or your customer service guy. I forget his name, but he was using it.
Yeah. Jake was in there.
Jake. And, yeah.
And Ben would pop in at like 10 o'clock in the morning and I'm working. He's like, hey, what do you got going on today? I'm like, I got some work today. I got to work. And, so what do you have going on? It's like, I wrapped up my work at like 8 this morning. I'm going to drive to the coast and go to the bank and I'm going to do a bunch of stuff. And so guys and gals, you can structure your business any way you want to structure it. You can structure it and figure out the way that you want to live, the lifestyle you want to live, and structure your business around that. And it'll change as your priorities in life and as kind of the flavor of life changes. But Ben was able to structure his business after a lot of hard work and being very intentional, into literally getting up at 5, 6 in the morning, working for an hour or two, and he was done. And I don't know what your schedule is now, but, it'd be kind of cool inviting you on back later to talk about
anytime, kind of stuff. So. Anytime you want, you just have to ask. I am like a bum who gets paid. I've got all this time, dude. Bring me on anytime you want. It's all
awesome,
good.
Dude. I love it. Well, thanks guys and gals. Thanks Ben for hopping on here, and everyone, thank you for joining the CarrotCast. So with that, guys and gals, I have a question for you. And this question is really built off of what Ben and I talked about in this episode of the CarrotCast about writing persuasive copy that connects with your prospect, that really guides them on the path on working with you. The question is, what's the main difference between a $100 bill and a $1 bill? And I heard this quote many, many years ago. It really stuck with me. The main difference between a $100 bill and a $1 bill is simply the words put on the paper. Guys and gals, the paper is exactly the same. It's only what they printed on the paper. And relaying that into the business, relaying that into your marketing, relaying that into your websites, relaying that into whatever it is that you're doing for communicating with your clients. The main difference between someone who's performing really, really well with their marketing and someone who is not is simply the messaging on the media, the words on the paper and direct mail, the words on the website, as far as online marketing, the words in your ads. Okay. So make sure you focus on implementing the things that we talked about in this episode of the CarrotCast. Make sure you go through and understand your prospect insanely well, because if you don't understand your prospect insanely well, your marketing is not going to speak to them. And you're going to look like the masses of everyone else out there that is not solving the problem of that prospect very well. So they're going to go to your competitors who are. Make sure you also make sure you also build out good content that resonates with them, that addresses the problems or frustrations they have, that addresses the hell that they're currently living in and the heaven you're going to deliver them unto. Okay, make sure you understand the prospect and dive in, learn from Ben, go on to his website, bensettle.com. And check out his newsletter, because his copywriting style is really, really simple. It's really, really entertaining, number one, but also it's just really, really simple. It's something that anyone can do with enough practice, enough effort, and just really ingrain this into your life and business, because when you can become a better marketer, you really gain freedom. You really control your own destiny. When you're at the mercy of other people doing your marketing for you or creating your marketing pieces for you, then you really don't create your own, you really don't hold your own destiny, guys and gals. Okay. So go out there, crush the rest of the day, download the, you go out there and get Ben's book and create your customer avatar this week. That's probably the first thing you should do. Okay. And after this episode, actually the next episode, make sure that you turn in next week, where we have one of my really close friends, one of the biggest, house flippers in the entire country. His name is Brad Chandler, the CEO of Express Home Buyers. Brad and I are going to be hopping on literally about 10 minutes after I'm recording this right now. We're going to be hopping on. It's going to be published here in about a week or so, and showing you guys how he built his company where they've bought and sold, you know, 2,000, almost 3,000 homes. Okay. Don't quote me. I know it's over 2,000. It might be over 3,000. I need to check, but it's a lot. It's a lot of homes. Okay. You know, what's the mindset on scaling from your first house to your second, to your 100th, to your 1,000th, to your 2,000th? Like, what's the difference between really scaling that up? How do you create true freedom from a wholesaling business or house flipping business? And what is Brad doing for the long term to build wealth? Because like Justin Lee said in our previous podcast, you know, really wholesaling is just another job. How do you get out of that? We're going to be talking about that with Brad Chandler, the CEO of one of the largest home buying companies in the entire U.S. And guys and gals, check out the CarrotCast, the other episodes of CarrotCast. Go to CarrotCast.com, subscribe, give us a rating, because those ratings really help us in a big way. I've said it a million times. I'm going to say it again. We would love you guys to go to iTunes and subscribe. You're going to get each episode about a week or two before we ever publish it on our blog. So you can check it out way before anyone else, and give us some feedback. We'd love it. Guys and gals, have an amazing rest of the week. Go out there and chase your passion, chase your purpose, and build a great company that serves you and serves your clients. Thanks, guys and gals. Have a good one.